Morning Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. The Titans had OTAs today, the first Phase 3 OTA that was open to the media. And I was out there on the practice field. And I was making jokes today, along with some of the other media people. One guy dropped a pass today, and I got out there and I said, minus 2 points. And then one guy caught a pass, and I said, plus 2 points. And again, last week, I made a lot of fun of Brian Callahan's offseason of team building and competitive spirit and made-up point system and the four H's and the... And a lot of people seem to get upset about it. Oh, Jared, he's just trying to do something differently. This is about accountability. This is about teamwork. This is about leadership. This is, it sounded like one of those corporate retreats that people have to go on and the team building activities that you have to do on that corporate retreat, not something that's going to build up an NFL team. And I know TD was on the show and he was talking about, well, it's about, you know, guys being accountable to each other more so than it is anything else. And I said, that's fine. Brian Callahan doesn't have the nuts to fire coaches. He doesn't have, you know, the cojones to hold people accountable. So he came up with some weird screwy point system. And this is going to be the transformative change that is going to take the Titans from the worst team in the NFL to the top, right? Sounds kind of stupid. So I was out there today, and I said, where's Jeffrey Simmons? And the media group, the people next to me turned around and said, he's not here today. I said, wait a minute, what? Jeffrey Simmons is not here today? And I know, OTAs, as every coach who does not want to be fined by the league because the league doesn't want to hear about it from the union, every coach will say that it is voluntary to be there for OTAs. And I also am not one to sit there and say that you got to be at every voluntary practice. But if you're going to have this constant competition throughout the entire offseason, if you're going to try to build leaders based off of this competition, if you're going to get up there in front of everybody and talk about dividing the team into 8 equal teams that are mixed offense, defense, special teams, and that we're going to build leaders out of it, and that we are going to set the tempo for what this organization is going to be, and that we're going to hold people accountable, and that we're going to push other people, and that we're going to, well, then don't you need the people that are supposed to be the leaders of the team to be there? No Jeffrey Simmons. I assume Jeffrey Simmons is one of the 8 team captains. No Tavondre Sweat, who is the assistant captain of Tony Pollard's team. He was not there today. No Legarius Sneed, who I have been informed is a team captain. Not even Kevin Zeitler, the veteran guard the Titans signed in the offseason. He wasn't there today. So somebody explain something to me. How are the Titans going to develop all of these great leaders and transform their team this offseason with this great competitive process if Jeffrey Simmons is off doing his own thing? What happened to, we need to build and develop leaders this season? So how is Jeffrey Simmons and how is Tavondre Sweat and how is Legarius Sneed, how are they supposed to earn points for their team? How are they supposed to lead their team? You tell me, you explain this to me, because apparently I think this is all stupid anyways, but I'm obviously not smart enough to understand how the Titans can have this competitive offseason team building program and then have the guys that either are supposedly the leaders of their team or the guy that they want to be a leader of their team not be there. And it goes back to what I truly believe, which is this is just such a Mickey Mouse operation that lacks legitimate, serious football minds. And I mean that with all due respect to Brian Callahan. But when he got up there last week and he tried to talk about his new system because he thought long and hard about it, and he sold it to the local press with this idea that this was going to be transformative, that this was going to be about accountability and building leaders. And I don't think, by the way, that you build leaders. I think leadership is a talent. I think it can be developed. I do not think that somebody who is not a leader and does not have the ability to be a leader can be made a leader, which is what I think of Simmons. But I heard all that gobbledygook last week, and I heard that, well, they got to try something. And because Callahan can't fire coaches, except for the special teams coach, which he had to do kicking and screaming and didn't want to do, and because Callahan can't hold these guys accountable, he made up some stupid formula and acted like Albert Einstein, saying, oh, here's this new, look at the board, look at all this, the way that we're going to keep up these. And then Simmons doesn't show up. Sweat doesn't show up. Snead, who's a captain of one of these teams, doesn't show up. Give me a freaking break. They're not taking it seriously. And I knew they wouldn't take it seriously. I probably shouldn't say this, but I went down last week. My roommate in college is the first base coach of the Scranton AAA team. They played the Sounds last week. So we were out there at First Horizon Park on Thursday. So I went down to the clubhouse, you know, after the show was over, before first pitch, and I just went to go say hey to my buddy, and, you know, I was talking to some of the coaches. And my buddy asked me, he said, what'd you talk about on the show today? And I said, you guys got to hear this. I said, they got this new system that the Titans are incorporating, trying to get guys to be more accountable. They say this is going to keep them from jumping off sides this season. This is going to keep them from turning the ball over this season. This is going to keep them. They've got this point system. So if you throw an interception, it's minus 3 points. If you intercept it, it's plus 3 points. If you, and these guys, again, AAA baseball coaches for the Yankees, sat there and laughed when I told them about how stupid I thought this was. These are millionaire athletes. And you're going to say, okay, guys, we're going to have some icebreakers here, and we're going to get to know each other, and we're going to get to do this, and we're going to get to do that, and we're going to. And some of you people bought this crap last week. I didn't, but some of you did. I think most of the people in the local media bought it and were like, hey, this is going to hold them accountable this season. You're not going to see the same old bull crap you saw last year because they're going to be held accountable to their teammates. Really? Like, this is going to be what gets them to get off the pot? And then on the first open day of competition to the media. And if you're a player and you're trying to be a leader, or if you're a player and you are a leader, you should be aware of the optics of what is open to the media and what's not. On the first available open day to the media, Jeffrey Simmons, nowhere to be found. Tavondre Sweat, nowhere to be found. Legarius Need, not there. They're not taking this seriously. You don't have any leaders. You've propped up Simmons. He's got to be one of these eight captains, and he's not even there. This thing is such a joke. And again, for a lot of these guys, it's voluntary. That's their business if they go or if they don't. I think if you are a leader, you probably need to be there. But this is the first open OTA to the media, the first real open OTA. And this was the new offseason platform that Brian Callahan introduced that, I mean, I'm telling you, people in that building think this is like some sort of, you know, real accountability and leadership building exercise. Like, they don't think this is a joke like I do and like the Yankee AAA coaches apparently did. And yet on the first day, there's no Jeffrey Simmons. There's no Tavondre Sweat, who's an assistant captain. There's no Legarius Need. It's one day. And I already get the idea that, yeah, the players think this is stupid too. Sorry, too busy doing my own thing today. Going to Disney World. 615-737-1025. We'll get your reaction to that. 615-737-1025. Plus, Brian Callahan was asked a question today that at some point he probably knew was going to come up. And I thought his answer to it was awful. Just awful. And kind of embarrassing. We'll get to that coming up next. Dylan in Antioch says, no Jared versus Joe today. Joe is in Destin today at the SEC spring meetings or whatever. So Jared versus Joe will be back next week. But Jared versus Joe is presented weekly by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville and First Horizon Bank. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. So traditionally we'll have Joe on, but he's at the SEC meeting, so that'll be next week. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game.
What's Jeff's offseason been like to this point?
It's been pretty consistent for Jeff, I think. Whether you see him every day here or not, there's one person on this team, probably more than anybody, I never worry about being ready to play on Sunday, and that's Jeff. So been pleased with where he's at. He's working. I know he's ready to roll. So that's pretty all I can say to that. You'll find out.
The answer to that is no, he was not. I mean, I love how Brian Callahan's like, whether or not Jeff Simmons is here, the person I'm never worried about is Jeff Simmons. Really? That's the person you're never worried about? You do realize that, and this is a problem the Titans have, because, again, Callahan, he just cannot call anybody out. It's kind of disappointing. Jeffrey Simmons last year had 5 sacks. And if you ask him about the fact that he had 5 sacks, he'll go off and bitch about how the media doesn't give him enough credit because he got double-teamed so much last year and blah, 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 blah. I mean, this idea that, I don't have to worry about Jeff Simmons, you're treating him like Derrick Henry. He's not Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry never has to go to OTAs. And I know Derrick Henry will be okay when the start of the season comes around. But if I'm the coach and I'm doing what Brian Callahan is doing, which is telling everybody that I spent so much time this offseason thinking long and hard about what we had to do in order to fix the problems of last year, and this leadership development, team building training is what we need. Well, then as the coach, I would be sitting down with Derrick Henry saying, Derrick, we need you here. Like, I know you want to train on your own. I know you train well on your own. I know, look, I'm not worried about you, but I need you, Derrick Henry, here to lead this team. And I bet you Derrick Henry would say, absolutely, coach. Simmons is not here. They ask, hey, how's his offseason? Well, I never worry about Simmons. I worry about Simmons. I think Simmons thinks his poop doesn't smell. I think he's too big for his britches. I think he thinks he's the man. And I'll tell you how I know I think he's the man. He's got his own logo. This J.S. Jeffrey Simmons logo. And he wears that T-shirt and chain, with the Jeffrey Simmons logo. He thinks he's Tom Brady. He had 5 sacks last year. And here's another example of something embarrassing I thought Brian Callahan said today. Paul asked him about L'Jarius Sneed. And again, if you're not up to date on what's the latest with L'Jarius Sneed, apparently L'Jarius Sneed is facing both a civil lawsuit and potential grand jury hearing surrounding his role in an alleged shooting at a car dealership during the season last year outside of Dallas, Texas. Here's what Brian Callahan said today about L'Jarius Sneed.
Potential grand jury indictment hanging over his head. It would seem sure. That would be something that would affect the guy coming to work. What have you seen from him, and how does that have a bearing?
The things about L'Jarius is that when he's here and working, he's fantastic. He's all the things that we hope he would be. Certainly when guys have off-field issues, he's not the first one. He won't be the last. There's a lot of guys that have things going on outside of the building that maybe aren't into public knowledge, or they're dealing with things with their families. There's a lot of things that happen that just like all of us, you have to separate your personal life and your work life, and be able to come to work and focus on the task at hand. I think he's done a good job of that. Certainly anytime you have distractions off the field, you prefer not to have those. But But he's done a good job of handling it and keeping, you know, the work here the main thing, and dealing with the things off the field when he has to deal with them. But I would say that's not unique to anybody in particular. I think that happens to a lot more guys than people realize. Again, maybe not necessarily civil cases or court cases, but just life in general. It can be hard to separate sometimes, and I think he's done a good job of it.
Okay. So right then and there, he just said that we need to give L'Jarius Sneed an award for how well he's handled this distraction in his life that is his own doing. And I heard that today and I thought, God, what a freaking wuss on Callahan's part. And again, I like Callahan. I think Callahan's a good guy. I think Callahan's a good man. I'm rooting for Callahan. I am betting against him because I don't think he's got the bone in his body that is required to be a good coach. I don't think he's got that in him where he can push back. Kaharski asks him about, hey, you know, Sneed's handling the grand jury stuff. You know, again, anything related to L'Jarius Sneed's legal troubles, every coach, every player, every person there should say, hey, you know, that's above my pay grade. So I understand not addressing that. But there's also the reality that this was a self-inflicted problem caused by L'Jarius Sneed during the season last year when Brian Callahan was coaching for his job. And Brian Callahan's not going to even show a hint of disappointment. Not one hint of disappointment. Like, I heard that, and I'm like, this is the opportunity for Brian Callahan, again, not to make a statement about L'Jarius needs a real a-hole because he went out during the season in Dallas when he told us he was going to be rehabbing, and he's shooting up car dealerships, and we're not happy about it. But this is his opportunity to say something like, you know, we need all the guys around here to really make good decisions. We need the guys around here to pull the rope in the right direction. And we've had some talks about this, and I think L'Jarius' head this year is in the right place. You know, something like that. Show me your disappointment. Because when I heard about all this, when this came out, and I saw that it was on December 6th or whatever, and I said, wait a minute, this was 2 days before they play Jacksonville at home. The hell's he doing out there shooting up car dealerships, allegedly? I was disappointed. I was offended. I was angry. And my job wasn't hanging in the balance. But not Callahan. He's sitting there and acting like, you know, L'Jarius Sneed is overcoming adversity. Boy, I'll tell you, I was proud how Ray Lewis overcame the adversity that he caused for himself. Let's compare this with Vrabel. This was Vrabel today. Stephon Diggs, there's a video online. Stephon Diggs partying on a boat. Stephon Diggs has some sort of pink substance. Many people assume is cocaine on the boat. Again, I have no idea. I've never done cocaine in my life, so I have no idea what color it is. Well, I mean, I know it's white, and I know you snort it, but like, I don't know, pink bags, yellow bags, green bags. I have no idea. But apparently, that's what most people seem to think it is. This was Vrabel today when asked about Stephon Diggs. And you tell me if this is the same tone of disappointment that Brian, or the lack of disappointment, I should say, that Brian Callahan had.
Stephon Diggs has gotten a lot of traction in the last 24 hours or so. He's on a boat having a good time. But the question comes in as to a certain substance that people are guessing what is and isn't. Is this something that the team has to look into?
Well, it's something that we're aware of, and obviously we want to make great decisions on and off the field. And we're hoping that with our time here on the field today, and that when we don't have a script and we're on the call-up periods, that we're making great decisions. And so the message will be the same for all our players, that we're trying to make great decisions. And any conversations that I've had with Stephon will remain between him and I and the club.
Have you talked to him since the video?
I talk to our players every single day, the ones that are here and the ones that aren't.
Are you expecting him to practice today, Mike?
Not if he's not here.
So he's not here?
You guys will find out in a minute. But no, again.
He was here last week, according to a video.
Everything that we're going to do, Karen, is we're going to coach the guys that show up at 8. And the ones that say, hey, I got a situation, we'll be here at 8:05. We'll coach those as well. This is a voluntary part of our off-season program, and every player that's not here, which there aren't many, have been in communication with me and their position coaches.
I was just going to ask, based on what you've seen from the times you've been around,
kind of tell from this that Vrabel's pissed. You know, we stress to the guy to make good decisions, and today at practice we need to make good decisions, and we need to, like, you can tell Vrabel's pissed at Stephon Diggs, and I've talked to him. And anything that's said between him and I will stay between him and I. Is he going to be out there today? Is he practicing today? Well, he can't practice if he's not here. So is he here today? You'll see. But no, he's not. Again, like, Brian Callahan's acting like we should give L'Jarius Sneed credit for how hard he's worked since he's been here with this distraction that he has in his life. I'm pissed about the distraction because, again, his teammates are out there fighting for their jobs. His coaches last year were coaching for their jobs. I guarantee you on December 6th, Brian Callahan was not sure whether or not he was coming back as the Titans coach. These guys are fighting for their careers, and he's off allegedly shooting up a car dealership. And given the opportunity, again, given the opportunity to say something about it, Brian Callahan just tells us how great things are going with L'Jarius Sneed. So, I said this last week with TD. I don't think Brian Callahan can hold guys accountable. I don't. I don't think he can hold coaches accountable. I don't think he can hold players accountable off the field. I don't think he can hold players accountable on the field. I don't think he has it inside of him. And that's okay. You know, some people are great coordinators. They're not meant to be head coaches. Some people are great salespeople. They're not meant to be sales managers. And it feels like with Callahan, if you can't hold people accountable, if you implement this brand new leadership program, and then your number one leader, or your highest paid player, or whatever it is with Simmons, he doesn't show up. Well, it's hard for me to take you seriously. So, I heard that today from Callahan, and I thought that was an embarrassing answer on his part. There was the opportunity to show his disappointment in the situation without commenting on what actually happened. Again, he doesn't have to say something like, yeah, I know L'Jarius is guilty. You don't have to say that. You just say something like, hey, our focus is always on the team, and I've had talks with L'Jarius about his focus needing to be on the team even when he's not here. It needs to be on making good decisions and on being, you know, focusing on the team while everybody's working. You know, he could have said that he was disappointed with what happened, but he can't do it. Always has to be positive. Always has to let that guy off the hook. And that's why I think this is all going to fail. 615-737-1025. What I saw at a Cam Ward today. We'll hit that next. 615-737-1025. And your phone, Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game.
Have you figured out what style, what messaging works best for Cam at this point?
I think so. I think Cam appreciates, you know, every player I've ever been around likes to be coached. So I think he likes coaching. He can take hard coaching. His mother would be the first to tell you. She's very adamant about that part of it. And that's where you get the feel for that he's capable of seeing. He's seen all different types. And so he responds to all of it pretty well, I think, ultimately, because he wants to be good. And whatever message it is, he can take the coaching part with the message. Generally speaking, you don't holler at quarterbacks the way that you do at some other positions. But, you know, there's a time and a place. And there's a lot of things he's learning right now about defensive structure, about what he can get away with the throws, with the timing. So it's sort of an everyday learning process for him. And it's been really good. But we coach him hard just like we coach everybody else.
Where did this guy learn how to coach? You know, typically you don't holler at the quarterbacks like you do the other guys. Really? You mean to tell me Bill Parcells didn't holler at Phil Simms? That Chuck Knoll didn't holler at Terry Bradshaw?
Tell that to Will Levis last year.
I mean, what are we talking about here? Typically you don't holler at the quarterbacks. No, you don't holler at the quarterback when it's Peyton Manning in his 13th season. That's when you don't holler at the quarterback. What are we talking about here? So I do just want to go over a rundown of what Cam Ward looked like, because I'm sure many of you are going to ask the question, Jared, what did Cam Ward look like today at OTAs? And I'll say this, he looked fine. Arm solid. Release quick, which I think is very important. You know, I talked about this when I did the film study of Cam Ward, how I felt like at the line of scrimmage, he was very nonchalant at Miami. You know, an edge rusher would come free or a blitzer or something, and he just kind of, oh, I'll just get away from this guy. And you can't really do that. You know, the one mistake I felt like Cam made, you know, he tried to run away from pressure and then threw a ball across the field, and it got batted down by Curtis Jacobs, a second-year linebacker who I've never heard of. That ball should have been intercepted, probably in a real game against a real team. That ball probably does get intercepted. But so I'd like to see that fixed a little bit. He missed a throw right in front of me to Ridley on 7-on-7. He had a couple of incompletions in the team period. One was a drop by James Prochet. Another was a drop by Elik Iomanor, or though you could have said on that pass breakup that it was pass interference, I would have thrown the flag, so I'm not going to dock him for that. He throws a good ball, you know, he's got good zip on it. He's a little on the shorter side for a starting quarterback, which I don't love, but he's not Kyler Murray. And I kind of felt like, you know, he looked like he belonged on the NFL field. He did not look like a fish out of water. He looked fine. Excuse me. He didn't look bad, and he didn't look great. And if somebody tells you, you know, somebody that was there today in the media tells you differently and tells you that Cam Ward looked fabulous, Jared. Cam Ward looked like everything he's supposed to be. Cam Ward, they're not telling the truth. They might be telling you what they wanted to see, so they've told themselves they saw. But that's not what happened today. There wasn't enough today that they did, especially from a competition standpoint. There wasn't enough to be excited about. And that's not me knocking it. You know, again, like, this is a process, and it's going to take time, and it's going to... But there was really nothing that was like, oh, my God, or oh, my God. It was neither that, and that's fine. Brandon Allen did get the first team reps today. Brian Callahan said before the start of practice today, do not read into who gets the first team, second team, third team reps. It's all just kind of whatever. Brandon Allen got the first team reps. Cam got the second reps and got the most reps. Levis third, and Tim Boyle, who sucks, was fourth. I mean, Tim Boyle, again, you talk about like, oh, man, you can see bad, fast, or special. Tim Boyle stinks. So just keep that in mind. 615-737-1025, which is the phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. One text says, Callahan is such a softy. He has not been fantastic, let's be real. And if the bar for Jeffrey Simmons is to be ready on Sundays, that's a low bar because everybody gets up for games. Practices are where it's tough. You know, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this, because I even asked Reed during the break if he thought I was being too hard on Callahan, because I really do like Callahan, and I do think Callahan is a good guy, and I do think Callahan knows football. You know, do I think he's the best coach in the world? Absolutely not. But do I think he knows football? Yeah, I think he knows football. I just don't feel like Callahan can push back. I don't feel like he can do it. Like, I don't think Brian Callahan, 3 weeks into the season, if the defense is not doing what they need to be doing, can call Denard Wilson in the office and fire him. I do not think Brian Callahan can challenge Jeffrey Simmons. And I'm not talking about getting in front of the guys and, you know, using the F word a couple of times and things like that, saying, you know, we need to be tougher, we need to this, we need to that. I just don't think he can do it. I don't think he can tell somebody like, hey, man, you're not good enough. I don't think he can do it. In confrontation, it's not fun. But that's part of the job of being a head coach. I mean, he never seems to hold people accountable on the practice field. And I agree that, you know, the games, the practice is where you can really have an effect on these things. The games, you're just calling the plays and deciding when to call timeout. And the games, that should be the easy part for a team and a coach. Practice is the tough part. I think Callahan works hard. I don't think he's lazy. But I don't know if he can be tough. And I'm not saying be Vrabel, where you're just, an a-hole every day. But I am saying, like, hey, show some accountability here. I'll hold some guys accountable. I'll set the expectations and hold people to it. You know, it's funny. I sent out a tweet over the weekend because I was in Toronto, and I was talking to so many different people. And, I mean, everybody was talking about how the Leafs just broke their heart. And I promise you I'm going somewhere with this story, but I kept telling everybody, I'm like, guys, the Leafs were in Game 7 against the Florida Panthers, who went to the Cup 2 years ago, won the Cup last year. Tonight they're probably going to beat Carolina to go back to the Cup. They might be a dynasty with really good players. And the Leafs went to Game 7 and lost. And everybody there's like, nope, total choke job. It was the worst. We suck. Blow it up. It's awful. It's it. And I'm like, you're right there. The second round of the playoffs, it's so hard in the NHL. The margins are so small. And I say that because Vingan texted me. And Vingan was like, that doesn't sound like something you'd say. And I'm like, that's exactly what I would say. Because in life, I believe in standards. Like, I never sit there and say, like, hey, we should win every game. I never sit there and say you should win the World Series every year. You should win the Super Bowl. You should win the championship. You should. I never say that. There need to be expectations. And if somebody reaches the expectations, and they should be fair expectations, then they should be rewarded. And if they don't, they should be held accountable. And far too often in all of this, I feel like we just sit back and we get mad when someone tries to hold somebody accountable for something that's very basic. And then we, at times, apparently, we just don't accept what should be fair expectations when they're met. Now, I thought Mike Mularkey was a great example of this. In his second year, he took the worst team in the NFL. And the first year won 9 games. And so then there was, you know, let's build on that. Let's see where it goes. Mike Mularkey, as the head coach of the Titans, went to the divisional round of the playoffs in year 2. Won a playoff game for the first time in 15 years in that organization. Went to the playoffs for the first time in a decade. Lost to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots and got fired. And I couldn't believe it. And everybody in town was like, yep, they should have done that. And I'm like, were the expectations to beat Tom Brady in the division round of the playoffs? Because a lot of good teams and a lot of good coaches haven't beaten Tom Brady in the playoffs. What are we doing? And so I have pushed back upon guys getting fired when I feel like they have met expectations or are getting a raw deal. When it comes to Callahan, I don't think he can do that. I don't think Callahan can push back if somebody's getting a raw deal because they are meeting the expectations, but you have higher expectations than you should have. And I don't think Callahan can hold people accountable to the expectations that they should be meeting. And if you're a coach and you can't hold people accountable, I don't think you can be coach. And I'm still waiting. I mean, I have the cut sheet from the things Callahan said today at the press conference in front of me. Callahan feels good with the players they've added. Callahan, Jeffrey Simmons' outlook. We just played that cut earlier where he said everything's great even though he's not there. Callahan, let's see, there's a couple in here that I'm like, oh, God. Callahan likes the guys they added this offseason. Callahan on Legarius needs off-the-field issues and possible grand jury. We played that cut where he basically wants to give him a award for how he's handled it. It's like, I'll hold some people accountable for a change. And no, the special teams coach that everybody knew had to be fired, that one doesn't count. One text says a point system is a freaking joke. It's how factories keep up with attendance and when it's time to fire them. This is so corporate and not real football. This to me is Callahan going to the corporate guys that don't know ball, Brinker and Nyhill and those guys trying to keep his job. Saying, here's the thing that I figured out. What he really should have gone to is he should have sat down with him and said, all right, here's the deal. I need a veteran defensive coordinator. I'm firing Denard Wilson. I need a veteran defensive coordinator that I can just give that side of the ball to. Lou Anarumo got the axe in Cincinnati. That's the perfect guy. You know, go put him in there, and he's doing that, and I'm going to focus on the offense, and that's what we're going to do. And instead, it's the opposite. Instead, it was Callahan, you know, kind of watching between the two fields today at practice, like Bear Bryant up in the giant ivory tower that Bear Bryant used to watch practice from. But again, what do I know? You know, the Titans are going to win every game, according to everybody out there. Everything's so optimistic. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Stephon Diggs has gotten a lot of traction in the last 24 hours or so. He's on a boat having a good time. But the question comes in as to a certain substance that people are guessing what is and isn't. Is this something that the team has to look into?
Well, it's something that we're aware of, and obviously we want to make great decisions on and off the field. And we're hoping that with our time here on the field today, and that when we don't have a script and we're on the call-up periods, that we're making great decisions. And so the message will be the same for all our players, that we're trying to make great decisions. And any conversations that I've had with Stephon will remain between him and I and the club.
Have you talked to him since the video?
I talk to our players every single day, the ones that are here and the ones that aren't.
Are you expecting him to practice today, Mike?
Not if he's not here.
So he's not here?
You guys will find out in a minute. But no, again.
He was here last week. According to a video.
Everything that we're going to do, Karen, is we're going to coach the guys that show up at 8. The ones that say, hey, I got a situation, we'll be here at 8:05. We'll coach those as well. This is a voluntary part of our off-season program. And every player that's not here, which there aren't many, have been in communication with me and their position coaches.
I was just going to ask, based on what you've seen from the times he's been around, how would you say he's progressing?
Again, the timelines and the prognosis and everything, again, we're working hard to get him back and to be ready to go. But, you know, when he's here, we'll coach him and we'll have everything ready to go.
There you go. That's Mike Vrabel dealing with the first problem. This is Stephon Diggs, again, on a boat, and there was a package of a pink substance or a pink package of a substance that most people think is cocaine. And so Vrabel's like, yep, we're aware of it. We're dealing with it. So I'm just going to say this. You know, Ty texts in and says, firing Vrabel was a bad decision. And I replied back, have you seen his coaching staff in New England? Because it's pretty much all the same Vrabel buddies, along with Josh McDaniels, as Vrabel had here that drove all of us crazy. I believe that when it comes to the Patriots and the money they spent and the great Mike Vrabel and all of that, this is their version of Let Ran Cook. Last year, where they spent all that money in free agency and the Titans gassed everybody up and thought they were going to be good at, you will see. And a lot of people around the country didn't take the bait. I think they have with the Patriots because, again, it's the great Mike Vrabel. But already on day one, day two, day whatever, he is dealing with what I think is a test. Because I think Diggs is like, I don't give a rat's ass about you guys. And so we shall see. But I don't think it's going to work. That's it for us. Stillman and Company, we are out of here. We will see everybody at the golf course. That's right. 615 opens tomorrow. We'll see everybody at 2.